Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the most stupendous WrestleMania recap podcast in the history of all time, I guess.
Of all time.
I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline. With me, as always, is the MVP of Night 2 of WrestleMania, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you doing?
Andrew, please, please, don't. I don't deserve such recognition. But I'm good, man. I'm good. We just finished night two of WrestleMania. That's another one in the bag.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
I feel pretty good. I'm a little tired.
A little tired.
That ever stopped us from recording a podcast? I've heard people love hearing tired voices in a audio-only medium. Other than that, we're gonna be doing great. How was your WrestleMania evening, Tyler?
It was good. I enjoyed a lot of the card from top to bottom. It was pretty good. There were a few surprises, pleasant surprises, matches that I wasn't too hyped for, but ended up being like some of the best ones. And then there were a few, I'm not gonna call them duds, but didn't quite live up to the hype that we built up, but
yeah, that's our own fault. I don't know that there was a single dud on either night.
I don't know
if I can call the New Day fight night match a dud. I mean, it was 2 minutes, and like the fact that it got on tonight after being cut after night one seems like a victory in and of itself. Yeah, nothing was like atrociously bad.
Which I think is a
win. There was stuff that was good that we're really going to talk about. But I guess the first question, Tyler, in our preview, we said for WrestleMania to be successful, it just needed to have some new WrestleMania moments, right?
Yeah.
That's what you said you wanted.
Yes.
Do you feel like we got any? And if so, what were they?
So apparently there was one, and Michael Cole even called it a WrestleMania moment. And it was when Wee Man power slams Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I could see that making the highlight reels.
I'm gonna be honest, like all jokes aside, I popped like crazy for that moment. Genuinely, like he hit that power slam, and I was openly laughing, like cheering, like it was a great moment.
That was one of the best delivered wrestling moves of the whole night. Like,
and
I'm
so
not
good.
Saying that ironically. Like, it was a really clean, just like regular old body slam.
So good.
Were there any others besides Wee Man for you?
Oh man.
We're talking about both nights here too.
Yes. Yeah. Both nights. I gotta be honest. I don't think anything really kind of like is matching like the criteria that I had built up in my head. But that's not to say it was bad by any means. Like it was very entertaining. Again, like we said, from top to bottom, there wasn't really a dud on either card.
Mm-hmm.
There were very entertaining matches. There were some, of course, better than others, but like overall it was a great show for both nights.
Yeah. I'll go in my way to say maybe I have a lower bar for WrestleMania moment. There are a handful of things that I feel like will be what we remember when thinking of back to WrestleMania 38.
Sure.
And there are a few things I could see making it into future hype packages, or at least being like replayed to death, like those Snickers commercials.
Oh my god, that freaking Sheamus commercial.
We're gonna talk about that a bit more. I think that the Logan Paul shimmy before the frog splash is a thing that's going to be replayed a lot.
Maybe, yeah.
I think that
he got some heat on that.
He did. I think the ending the Bianca Belair delivering the KOD to Becky Lynch and winning that match, I think, will be replayed. I don't know if it had the like commentary moment needed to make it like the boyhood dream coming true for Shawn Michaels, but like I think that that was a really nicely framed moment that I think could be reused. I think that I don't know what specifically from it, but I think something from the Cody return and Seth and Cody match is the like WrestleMania moment.
Maybe the bionic elbow from Cody.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
maybe that one, that wind up was good.
The that weird like continuing standing suplex thing that they did out of the ring, I thought was really cool, even though it's a bit too awkward to be the WrestleMania moment. And then I think that you know, the shenanigans that Stone Cold got into both nights, like I think maybe the actual like WrestleMania moment in terms of like thing in the video package will be Stone Cold driving Kevin Owens up the ramp his four-wheeler. Yeah, it won't be the stunner he delivered to Mr. McMahon.
No, probably. That one was bad.
Does Mr. McMahon now have the two worst sells of the Stone Cold stunner in history?
Oh yeah, hands down. He had the worst, and now he definitely has the worst.
Yeah.
That was bad. That whole segment, though fun, went on so long.
Yeah.
like gratuitously long.
Yeah. I was texting with friend of the show, Pat Stango, tonight, and I joked that had this just been on an episode of Raw, the segment once, you know, McMahon beat McAfee and Stone Cold came down, that they would cut to commercial and come back and we would be joining a match in progress that was a tag match between the four of them. But yeah, I thought that like in the arena, I would imagine that didn't feel overly long. And like the reaction to that entire segment, both matches included, was like surprisingly electric.
There were electric moments, and I thought, and like you could feel them, like when Mr. McMahon like took off the coat and you could see that he was going to get into the ring, like there was a audible pop. That arena exploded for that.
Yeah.
But it was the in between moments that I thought it felt so long. I mean, like they got a pop for that, but then it took him forever to get into ring ready, and then he got into the ring and whatever that match thing that happened between him and McAfee took so long, and then finally
that match was only 3.5 minutes, but I get what you mean.
It felt like an eternity, and then that ended. The post angle before Austin came out with just Theory and Vince, I mean, I thought that was like, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That it's funny. I turned to Chelsea and I was like, oh yeah, only two more matches and it's only, you know, it's only 10:45. Like this is gonna, and this night did
this might
end.
Be an early night.
Yeah, this night did end. This was shorter than the first night, which went over time. I'm still not sure how that happened. I don't know where like, especially since, you know, night one opened with the Usos against Nakamura and Rick Boogs, and it seems
that
Rick
one
Boogs,
seemed to stop early because
he had a real injury.
Yep.
So I don't know where. I don't know where it went long. Maybe the Hall of Fame induction bit on stage really went
long.
Yeah. I think it's that Snickers commercial got played.
It's that
so many times.
They like we got an extra couple times, just replay that commercial about 12 extra times.
Man, I don't mean to sound like snotty when I say this, but there needs to be a rule that they have that you can't play the commercial more than once both nights. You got to find some other way to kill time. And like I also don't get, you know, it's like at the Super Bowl, you have those commercials, and those are giving the NFL direct ad revenue, right?
Yeah.
But there were like, what, maybe five commercials total played 40 times
It was the same ones. It was that Snickers commercial. The Cricket Wireless. It was the WWE Shop one, or letting you know that title belts and T-shirts are 50% off.
Yeah, but the thing is that all of those are like WWE commercials.
Yeah, so it's you know not like the wild part revenue. About this that they said at the top of the show, the two sponsors for the show they had were Snickers and WWE 2K22, the new game. Mm-hmm. I don't think I saw one commercial for the game. Like,
yeah, that's really strange.
That's weird.
That is weird. I thought you were going to say the other sponsor was Mike's Hard Tea.
Oh, the Mike's Hard one? Yep, I saw that one. The guy pulling the dude out of an alligator's mouth or something.
Yeah, Nakamura and Boog's outfit being the two halves of the twisted tea, which I felt like was an interesting way to start. We're getting far away from the question here of what are WrestleMania moments into just like what's weird minutiae. I'm going to divert for a second to ask a question about a match that, whether good or bad, we both kind of thought there would be a manufactured WrestleMania moment, but I don't think there was one. What is the moment that they're going to refer to when talking about the winner takes all greatest WrestleMania main event of all time?
It maybe just the finish, like, yeah, just like a spear and a win. I'm gonna be honest, I mean, we might talk about it later when we run down the matches, but I mean, it's that match, it wasn't a dud, but it just, they didn't do anything new.
Yeah, that's my only issue, because like it's funny, the things that we said needed to happen in our preview were like, for this match, for this trilogy to feel complete, mm-hmm, Roman needs to win, and he did.
And he did.
And that Paul Heyman needed to be, like, a focal point. And he at least was used multiple times in the match. Like, maybe the WrestleMania moment is the like, hand of God kind of there, Paul, pushing Paul the rope.
Pushing the rope to Roman's hand.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I liked that. I did not like him baiting Brock into being speared through the barricade. I feel like that really doesn't feel new.
No, I was gonna say we've seen that spot before, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's particularly with Brock. Just like that, there's always a need to have Brock incapacitated early on the outside to kayfabe, make it realistic that he loses, and I think we need to be done with that. So we talk about the moments, and there was a lot of sports entertainmentness on this card, but beyond that, what was the match of the weekend for you?
Let's see.
Talking about a wrestling match
of the weekend. So
I'll go even further than for you. Were there any matches on this card that felt like potential top 10 matches of the year? Any match of the year candidates for you?
No.
Interesting.
No match of the year candidates for me. But, I mean, there were very good matches. Honestly, that opening triple threat tag with RK-Bro, Street Profits, and the Alpha Academy or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm.
You got it right.
I was about to say American Alpha, and I was like, nope, not that one. Yeah. but, I mean, that was a super hot tag match. I thought they really had the crowd going. They kept, like, the energy high, great spots, just all around really good. I think that might have been my match of the night. There felt like so many different kinds of matches going on throughout the weekend, and I, you know, it's depends on what people's taste is when it comes to pro wrestling, and we love AEW, but I think AEW definitely sometimes can fall into that thing of the matches all trying to feel the same, and that same is, you know, like a strong style New Japan-esque, like, really good wrestling match. And obviously, mm-hmm, there's nothing wrong with that. But something about WWE, they know how to have a match that's a great wrestling match, have a match that is purely a spot fest, have a match that is just entertainment value, a silly match, like all of these aspects that I thought were really great. I loved Sami Zayn versus Knoxville. It was hilarious. It was so good. I mean, but at no point would I call that a good wrestling match.
Neither would Dave Meltzer. He apparently hated it.
Sure. I get it.
Yeah. I think for me, there were two.
Do you have a match of the year candidate? No way.
I got one.
Okay.
On here,
okay.
That I think like encapsulated what a good, sorry, what a great WWE wrestling match is. And to me, it was Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins.
Okay. That's totally fair. I was thinking, you know, bell to bell, that was definitely the best wrestled match.
Yeah, I would put Bianca and Becky as a close second to that.
Sure,
I thought that was a really great, that both of those matches from the entrances through the end felt big and important without having like really wonky endings. Like they had pretty clean endings, pretty like wrestled matches that told stories that were complete. And they were back to back, which is crazy too. Like so, for me, those two were the real high spot of the card in terms of wrestling. But I don't know. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Kevin Owens wasn't really a. I mean, it was a match. It was 14 minutes, and
it was
great.
It was a match.
Well, then for me, those were the two best worked matches.
Yeah.
But what match or segment was the best at delivering what it set out to be? Is it Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn for you?
Maybe. Like it was exactly what we thought it would be, exactly what like was promised, essentially. It was great. I really enjoyed that match. The Wee Man Slam was excellent.
You know what's amazing about that match is that it was received really well in AT&T Stadium, you could tell. And people were into it, and that's like despite having the big finale have the prop, like the multiple props didn't work.
Yeah
and
they
it
had
didn't,
a lot
didn't
of props
really matter down. They figured it out. What's crazy, like all I could think about when Johnny Knoxville brought out the bowling ball, which he also like threw really hard.
At
Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Al Snow rolling the bowling ball into someone's groin. And
yes.
I thought, you know, Jackass, I looked this up, debuted on MTV in October of 2000. And I was like, why did we not get Johnny Knoxville in the WWF hardcore division when like the type of match they wrestled tonight was that kind of hardcore? And it's like, oh man, we didn't need to wait 22 years to get this.
Well, that specific Rumble where Al Snow did that spot, Drew Carey was busy taking the celebrity spots. So,
that is true.
There was just no room available.
They're like, we can either get Who's Line or we can get Jackass. And
and they were like, what the fuck going. Is Jackass?
Yeah. I mean, you know that was Vince's favorite television show at that point.
Oh, yeah,
I imagine it had to be. I feel like Stone Cold versus Kevin Owens gave us exactly what we asked for, and maybe more.
I'm gonna
say
yes and no.
Okay, great.
So it gave us exactly what we asked for, and it wasn't until in the moment I realized I didn't want it anymore. The second where like Stone Cold said, you know, I wrestled my first match ever in Dallas, I could wrestle my last match ever in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
That was the moment where I realized they're going to have a real match. And the second that realization hit me, suddenly I was like, I don't want it. I don't want to see this. Please don't have a match. Don't have a match. I don't want you to have it. Just don't have a match. And then they did. And it was fine. It was great. It was entertaining. But I don't know, like suddenly I had an epiphany of like, I didn't want this after all.
Yeah. I think that's how I felt when Vince, got in the ring to have the match against Pat.
Right,
Because, like, Vince really, those clotheslines were hard great, but to watch.
Didn't actually want to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure now that I don't want to see a 20-minute in-the-ring Stone Cold match in 2022 anymore. I think this was, like, the absolute most that you can ask for him. And, like, he still gave two pretty big bumps in that match.
The suplex on the concrete?
That was, like, not only on the concrete, but over top of the electrical, like, the cord protector.
Oh, yeah, the cord box,
yeah, so, like, he gave some pretty hard bumps, but I'm right there with you, where, like, I'm glad we got it, and now if they were to do it again, I would be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly. What are we doing here, guys? Come on.
I feel like he was, like, Stone Cold was used to pretty good use both nights. Like, he was used much better than I would say, like, The Undertaker was used both nights.
Oh, my but God.
I'm happy for both of them to go to ride off into the sunset at this point.
Why did Undertaker have to come out both nights?
Yeah, like, the second night, I feel like they must have needed some time to...
They needed to kill, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But I was just confused because, like, I get it. Like, if you wanted to do it both nights, cool. But the rest of the Hall of Fame class was only there Saturday night.
Yeah. I think they probably... They used him in so much of the advertising for the show that they wanted to get him on both nights. Was there... We were looking at the card, and I forgot about a big WrestleMania moment that we didn't talk about, Tyler, that's going to be played to death, I think, and that's Drew McIntyre cutting the ring down with a sword.
Oh, cutting the ring ropes, yeah.
I was shocked when that happened. I knew that they needed to do something with the sword.
Right.
That, like, how do you finish the storyline without, you know, him just fucking killing someone?
I was shocked because wasn't that the opener?
No, Uso Nakamura was the
opener. Uso Nakamura. But it was real early, though. It was like second match. And I was watching it here with, and we were just like, well, I guess they're going to a long promo break real quick while they reset up the ropes.
I think they did. I had that same feeling where I was like, wow, that's a big thing to do to disrupt the entire entire ring. Maybe that's why the night one went over.
Maybe.
Was there anything... Whether in the presentation of the show, you know, Snickers commercials aside, we've now talked that to death, I feel like. Was there anything that didn't make sense to you, either in presentation or booking-wise?
I was a little upset at the Usos winning, but understanding that, you know, Boogs had a very real injury, whether or not... they were supposed to win the belts or not. Totally understandable. That threw me off just a little bit. The Edge AJ match, I was a little confused. So I didn't read it, but I saw the headline of an article today that I should have taken as a spoiler of talking about how Edge is potentially going to be getting a faction on Raw or SmackDown or whatever show he's on, and I saw the article, like, title, and I was like, oh, well, that would be cool, and just didn't think anything of it. And then now I'm like, oh, that was totally a spoiler, because then Priest showed up. And
I was writing the run sheet as I was watching the show, and during that match I was writing down questions to ask, and I was going to address that news article and be like, who should be in this new faction, new heel faction with Edge. And
Priest,
I was like,
well,
Damian Priest makes sense. Yeah.
Priest is a great first choice.
Here's the thing about the booking of that match that doesn't make sense to me. I feel bad that AJ Styles has had this happen twice now, is that if you are being promoted on WrestleMania in what's called a dream match, and you are being asked to do the, like, the heavy work rate lifting, you can't keep having those matches end in non-clean ways.
Yeah.
Like, I think it just, it really doesn't deliver on the premise to me. And it's like, I'm really cool with the idea of Brood 2.0 with Edge and Damian Priest and third person to be named.
Sure. I dig that.
I don't know why that couldn't have started tomorrow night. I don't know why like Edge couldn't have just like won the match and then like tomorrow confronted AJ again and then we got the Brood, and it would be a fun thing to start on the Raw after WrestleMania. So that really didn't make sense to me from a booking standpoint.
Yeah, I agree entirely with that one. It's one of those, another one in like retrospect, like I shouldn't have been surprised at all, but I was truly shocked that that Ronda didn't beat Charlotte.
Yeah,
in the moment too. I was like, wow, that's amazing. But in retrospect, I was like, it's Charlotte, of course.
Yeah, that was weird. I had a lot of thoughts about that. Because, like, I saw some early returns and reports of people saying that that match was a dud. And I think that's a totally incorrect.
It was a great match.
Yeah, I thought that it was actually, like, I was shocked at how technically proficient Ronda looked. And maybe part of that was that Charlotte's a really good dance partner for that. But, like, that was a really well-wrestled match. And Ronda had a lot of new moves. Those are the most moves we've seen her do. This was her best match since her first one.
Since her debut, yeah.
And it's also the only time, like that match should be looked at as a huge victory because they got the crowd to not ironically cheer Ronda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was the legit face in that match. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger on giving her the title. It felt like the moment to do it.
Yeah.
But you're right, maybe Charlotte gets what Charlotte wants. I don't know, maybe that's me being unfair based on the perception of her, but like it's if you're gonna hold the title as a Flair world champion like that, who's like keeps talking about how you're the best, I feel like she'd be more effective if she, like her father, cheated to win more.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she didn't technically, I mean, like, they're like, well, she beat her three times. And, like, well, no, the first time she put her feet on the rope. And
I was going to say, that's a pretty also interesting observation about Charlotte in terms of comparing her to Ric Flair. Is like, Charlotte has, you know, cheated to win before, but, like, she usually doesn't. She usually just wins.
She just goes over. Like, she's really more like Triple H. I would actually argue, and maybe this would make Charlotte upset to hear, so I'm sorry, is that I feel like Becky is the much better, like, new version of Ric Flair.
Sure.
And that she, like, the part of maybe why I liked that match with Bianca so much is that she was all big time Bex in Bravado. And then the second that Bianca would have her up for any kind of suplex, Becky was just like wiggling around and like went to be that like chicken shit heel. Mm-hmm. I thought plays that part really well. Did you see what she did this morning?
Becky? No.
She went to a post night one, or they did some like Q&A presser in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And she was one of the guests and showed up. And since she lost the title, she showed up with a cheap Raw Women's Championship replica belt.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm still the champion, baby. I got it right here.
Oh, that's so great.
And it's like, that is astounding to me.
That's amazing. Have you seen Bianca's eye?
No, I could tell that one of her eyes looked pretty bad.
Yeah,
at the end
so
of
it was
her match.
Towards the end of the match. Becky went for that like senton off the top rope.
Yeah.
More like a molly go around kind of thing, but she was short and you can see it in the slow-mo. Bianca takes like a heel to her eye essentially. Yeah. And you could see it absolutely towards the end of the match. Her left eye was already starting to swell up a little
bit. I thought she just had one of her fake eyelashes like come off. No. Like you could tell in the final close-up, I was like, something's not level.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could tell something was weird, but no, it was her eye had already started to swelling up. And like today, I think there was, you know, posts on social media or something, and it's completely swollen shut, like blacked over now. Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't have like a broken orbital bone or something, but
they can put on a face mask for that.
There you go.
That's okay. You can work through that. I'll say one other thing that really shocked me and confused me as a booking decision, but it seems like maybe it worked. We're going to see. We're going to see if they can make it work. Is turning the Miz double heel and trying to make Logan Paul a face.
I don't think that was the intention. I think the intention was to make Miz a face.
Oh, boy. That's probably how it's going to go.
He absolutely got cheered for turning on Logan Paul.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt to me like they were like, okay, we've had Logan be the bad guy. Now we're going to have him get his good guy thing. So we got to put him up against the one guy we know everyone will boo no matter what. But unfortunately, that person is Logan Paul and not the Miz.
Maybe that's their intention. I hope it's not, because it's not going to work.
No.
It's Miz is now a face for having turned on the shittier guy that people don't like. So
that, oh man, it's going to be rough, but we know we're going to get that going forward. I want to talk about one more thing from night one, if that's okay. I want to go back to Cody versus Seth. So Cody came out, they were like, there's more than one royal family in WrestleMania.
Yep.
He came out to Adrenaline in My Soul. I know that's not the name of the song, but
that's good enough.
He came up on the Cody Vader.
And he took the Cody Vader. I got popped for that one.
He was wearing his AEW get up, and you know, they showed the logo and they referred to him as the American Nightmare. He was AEW's Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
He got a legitimate pop and cheer the whole night.
All night, yep.
Even though nothing was different than how he was in AEW. What does this say about either AEW fans or WWE fans? Or what is that? Is this something that is going to be sustained, do you think? Or do you think that this is a big surprise pop for a face?
This one, it's so confusing. Because am I surprised Cody got cheered? No. I was fairly confident that if Cody showed up, the reveal that Cody Rhodes went back to WWE, I was confident he was going to get a pop, because, you know, it's that initial, that's excitement pop.
Yeah.
You hear Cody's music and you're like, oh my God, it's actually Cody. And you see the Cody Vader and all that. Like, I knew he was going to get a pop for that. The sustained cheers throughout the night, I'm not super shocked by that either, but I can't promise you that when Cody shows up tomorrow night on Raw that he's not going to get booed. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I listened to, he did an interview like 10 minutes after the match with David Shoemaker on The Ringer, and he basically said that on Raw he's going to have a promo segment,
yes,
and talk about you know, what he's doing and what his intentions are, and it seems like he's going to go for the world title, and that his, it's going to be about his goal being to do what his dad never could do. And it was a lot about like how pained he was whenever people talked about Dusty's kids. And he's like, Dusty's actual kid is right here.
Yeah.
And that all seems like face stuff to me. I, you know, anytime that we start to really doubt Cody, I feel like he might have a lot of misses like week to week as a professional wrestler, but when he is put in a position that is a big time match and a big time card, he is pretty perfect.
Yeah.
So far, he really hits those out of the park. So I'm really curious now. I mean, we both were, when this rumor first came out that he was going to come back to WWE, both of us were pretty bullish about Vince is going to bury him really quickly. I even said that he was going to lose at WrestleMania. So, like, do we walk some of that back? Or are we, like, stunned by how...
I don't think it's safe to walk it back yet.
Okay. Yeah. But it's going to be exciting.
I think Cody got a great pop coming back. He got the win over Seth at Mania. Great for him. I'm happy for him. It also, the biggest thing I think that is contradictory to how we thought that he was going to be treated is the fact that nothing seems to have changed in terms of Cody. It doesn't seem like, you know, they wanted him back for Stardust or something else, like they want the American Nightmare new. Cody yeah. Rhodes. And so that's a positive showing right there. It's so hard to put that against WWE's track record with any promising superstar who they seem to show interest in for a brief amount of time. I mean, there's no telling what Cody's going to be doing in six months from now.
Mm-hmm.
He could be 24/7 champion for all we know. I mean,
yeah, it's going to be an interesting road to the top. yeah, it does like either. I think it's very real that
how long until we get the Cody Rhodes WWE sponsored reality show, The Roads Less Traveled.
I would rather watch that than the Carmella and Corey Graves one.
Oh my God! Oh, they're getting a show. Jesus.
They already have it. It's already Christ, like up and
that's
out.
So bad.
It's bad. I think either one of these two things are true, or maybe both of them simultaneously. That maybe. Mm-hmm. The things that make Cody a good pro wrestler just are better utilized in WWE than they were ever going to be in AEW. Or maybe the AEW fans need to, ourselves included, maybe need to simmer down a bit and not push people out of the company.
I think both are right, honestly, to an extent.
Yeah. How is our stamina as viewers, just from like a media consumer angle? How do we feel about the two-night Mania?
So they kind of did a weird thing and bothered me in that the point of the two-night Mania, I thought, was to break up the card so you're not exhausted. But somehow 4 hours of wrestling, 8 to 12 on the East Coast time, is still too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, both nights by 11:15, my eyelids are getting heavy and I'm starting to like
Bianca's, yeah,
drift out and not really pay attention that well. So I don't know. I mean, I know they never promised us it was going to be 8 to 11 or something, but I kind of wish it was.
Just, yeah. I think that they did split up the things, but everything got maybe like 6 minutes longer than it would have you know, and that I think honestly, just like as great and grand as WrestleMania is, I was really aware of how long it takes people to get to the ring.
Sure.
And that really added a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I think if they could aim, Vince, if you're listening, I would aim next year to have it go from 8 to 11:30, and let's just see if we can start there.
See if we can just shave off some time every year.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think that 30 minutes makes a big difference. Yeah. Honestly, best celebrity involvement at WrestleMania this week. You had a lot of people to choose from. Logan Paul. You had, I guess we can say, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Johnny Knoxville. You had Pat McAfee.
So
you've also got Jefferson White from Yellowstone. You got Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg is the real one, actually.
The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders both nights.
Yeah. So weirdly, okay, if I were to give you a rundown for each of them. As much as I hate the guy, Logan Paul didn't do too bad.
Yeah, he looked pretty natural.
It was a pretty good showing. Like, it was an interesting match. I was paying attention. The dude's clearly athletic. Like, he can, you know, keep up with things. He didn't do half bad. In terms of, like, entertaining aspect, it's probably Knoxville and the Jackass Squad. Because It gave me exactly what I thought, what I was expecting, what I wanted. It would deliver it on all fronts. Also, I think he's a goon, but like Pat McAfee did really good too. I mean,
yeah, that recovery, the moonsault to standing in the ring. I was like, oh, that's like Ricochet.
He did a great job. But I was invested and all for the whole McAfee segment until the Vince McMahon match part. And everything after that, I was like, this is just not good.
Do you think...
I'll probably say the Jackass Squad was my favorite, though.
I think that's fair. How much longer can Pat McAfee be a full-time commentator and not a full-time wrestler?
I don't know. What would you rather him be?
I would rather he be a wrestler.
Really?
I also know that I'm in the minority and really disliking him as a commentator. Because I think he pulls focus. Like, he has one or two really good moments that are like otherworldly good on commentary every show. Yeah. But the rest of the time, I think he is a terrible distraction to the performers in the ring.
It's tough because I agree. I think every now and then, like, he's great on commentary and like he's interesting and funny. But most of the time, he is annoying, too loud, a distraction, way more than what a commentator is supposed to be. You're not adding to the action, you're taking folks away from
but
it.
He is a star, so I but get he that he does that without trying.
Sure. But I kind of don't want to see him wrestle. So, like, I guess I want him to stay on commentary, but he's not that great of a commentator, so I don't know what to do with him.
Maybe I want him to go back to just doing the pre-show stuff, because he made those wildly
those were entertaining. Yes, that is true.
What are we most excited for going forward in the WWE universe in terms of the story? Like, what, with the cards left on the table tonight, are we most excited to carry us through the rest of the year to SummerSlam?
I'm all for Roman's reign of terror. I'm all for it. We're going on, this will be 580 plus days now after tonight, so I'm digging it. I like to see where it goes. It's gonna be wild when whoever is the lucky one to dethrone Roman, so that'll be interesting. I'm still paying attention to the RK-Bro storyline. I definitely did think that the turn was coming tonight, but we didn't get it. They kept them together. So as long as you can. So I'm very excited to see where that storyline goes as well.
I'm excited to see who the third member of Edge's faction is.
Yes.
And I was looking at the Raw roster and couldn't really pinpoint another heel that would make sense in there, like maybe Austin Theory, but he's got enough stuff going on.
He's kind of busy. Weirdly, it doesn't make sense because they were just feuding. I'd like to see Finn Balor thrown into that group.
Yeah,
but Finn Balor and Priest were just feuding, so like.
But
that
maybe
might
Edge could
weird.
Be the one to bring them together. He's the only other person who has some kind of like dark magic to him in there. Maybe Almas could be good now that he's been made
human.
Oh man, can we talk about the nastiest bump in both nights? And I don't think it was intentional, was Bobby Lashley hitting the back of his head on the video board behind the ring post.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh my god,
I missed
it.
That
was
entirely
brutal. Yeah, he's in the corner and almost like rams him into the corner, just as like a splash, and Bobby like
his
really,
head bounces
he oversells
off
it to like jumps up, but he gets hit and then his head goes past the turnbuckle and hits the I don't even know what to call it, but the
LED post thing,
and
hits
it like right in the center of the back
of
his head.
Okay.
It was bad.
No, I missed that one entirely.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about how AJ Styles busted his face open before he got into the ring.
There were some wild speculation about that immediately.
I figured out what it was.
Was it pyro?
Well, no. So I thought it was pyro because he did like his pose at the top and the big pyro went off. I thought he like caught some shrapnel or something from it. But there was a fan taking a picture of his entrance, like very close to the entrance ramp. And like, you know how the entrance ramp, like they walked out below the triangle of the star.
Yeah.
It was apparently just really silly. AJ walked out a little too hard and like hit his head on the angle of the thing.
That
and
makes
that was
sense.
It.
Yeah.
It was purely it. But
I loved
totally
that
thought
set,
the same
by
thing.
The way.
I thought he caught shrapnel or something.
Yeah. I thought the set was really cool. I liked
it was.
The angled,
oh, yeah.
angled thing. I'm excited to see who the next challenger to Roman is. I think it could be Cody, honestly. I think we'll know after tomorrow night, but I think that's going to be
could
the
big, be Cody.
Yeah.
Cody, you think Cody's going to be the one to dethrone Roman?
No, but I think he's going to be the next one to challenge for him.
Okay, okay.
If that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
I want to quickly, before we get out of here, I want to, hold on. I'll tell you who I think. I was going to save this for our prediction episode, and I'll probably bring it back up then, too. Mm-hmm. I think next year at WrestleMania, now that The Rock didn't show up, I think Roman will lose the title to Gable Stevenson.
Oh, my God. Maybe they are hyping that guy up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think. He's going to be on the card in a prominent way next year.
Oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
Like we know it. I wanted to quickly go over how we did on our over-unders and predictions.
All right.
We asked over-under 5.5 successful F5 and spears combined. I said under, and it was way over. I think spears alone put it over. It's amazing how little we've talked about that match in this recap. I just want to put that out there.
Well, that's again, nuts. Like, that was the thing. Like, they didn't do anything new.
Nothing
we saw
noteworthy.
Almost
yeah.
all those spots. It, they didn't even, like, if you wanted to do something new and shocking, at least just have a normal match. And they didn't. They started the finisher fest real early.
Yeah.
We've seen that before.
Yep.
Anyway.
Over under 3.5 matches that will receive 4 stars from Meltzer. I said under, and I think that's probably a safe bet.
I think that's a safe bet.
I think we'll probably get 2 that are.
I think Cody Rollins should easily get over 4.
That might be it then. I think Bianca and Becky should be.
That one was a very good match. Yep.
I think Charlotte Ronda could flirt with it. But I don't know. I think the ending maybe made that harder. Mm. And then I over under 2.5 WrestleMania matches over 20 minutes long. I said over, and it was under. There were 2 matches that were over 20 minutes. Edge and AJ and Cody and Seth Rollins. Although Bianca was 19 minutes and Charlotte was 18 minutes. So, and then over under 2.5 titles changing hands. I said over. I got it wrong again. It was under. Only 2 titles
Only
changed
2?
Hand.
Yep.
In the entire 2 nights. You predicted the best celebrity performance would be Knoxville, and I think you were right.
Excellent.
You predicted the biggest pop of WrestleMania would go to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think you were right on that too.
Which night though?
The night 1. I think that glass shattering was.
That was more than this one tonight's. I don't know.
I mean,
probably those
are 1 and 2. So.
Yeah, definitely those are 1 and 2. It was just, I think people weren't like, sort of like weren't expecting him to show up tonight. But then like the second that he did with McMahon in the ring, you're like, of course he was going to show up. So
yeah.
Either way, it was Austin.
Would anyone turn heel or face on the show? We said not really. But Damian Priest went further heel.
I was going to say, I don't,
and
does that
Miz
count?
And Logan,
he was already healed.
Miz and Logan Paul really dug in their, I don't know, TBD on that.
Sure, sure.
And then a prediction that hasn't happened or not happened yet. You said the most noteworthy thing to happen on Raw after Mania will be The Rock coming out to announce he's going to face Roman. How do we still feel like that's a possibility or no?
I'm going to say no. I feel like if they could have gotten The Rock for this weekend, he'd have been on Mania.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't think so.
Yeah. So
if I were to predict a new shock, I think Bayley's coming back, but that's about it.
I think that's a pretty good one too. I think Raw is going to be that. It's going to be maybe Bron Breakker or Tommaso Ciampa debuting on Raw. And Edge's new faction, I think, will all be things. So tune back into our preview for SummerSlam. We will say that we expect The Rock to show up and challenge Roman for WrestleMania. Sure. Is there anything we didn't, any stone we didn't turn over? Any Stone Cold Steve Austin we didn't turn over? Kevin Owens was fantastic. Talking about how great Stone Cold was, but Kevin was really funny.
KO was great.
In all of those segments.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Hmm. I think we got it all. I think that was WrestleMania 38, and I think it was, I don't know if it was stupendous. That's a high bar to meet,
stupendous,
but it was pretty
is
good.
Pretty strong word. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly acceptable. It was pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we're going to let everyone get to bed.
Yes.
To all a good night. I don't remember how that quote goes. I'm
to
sure
all
that,
a good WrestleMania.
As
then, now, forever.
Then, now, forever, always.
Yes.
Right? Did they add another?
I think they did add something. Together is together. Then, now, forever, together.
Great. So
that
then
sounds so cheesy.
Then, as always, we're gonna leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say goodnight till it be morrow.
You damn son of a bitch.
Man, the drop from Shakespeare to that was jarring.